This is The Rounds Table.
Welcome back, Rounds Table listeners. I'm joined here with my brother, John Frelick, and today we have another rapid-fire episode focusing on cardiovascular disease. John, what article are you talking about first?
So first up, we're going to be looking at the efficacy and safety of low-dose colchicine after myocardial infarction. This was a study published in the New England Journal in November of 2019 by Tardif et al.
Okay, colchicine, I mean, I'm much more familiar with that for, you know, treatment of gout and pericarditis and some rare conditions. What on earth are we talking about colchicine and myocardial infarction?
So it's a great question. As you know, colchicine is a cheap, potent, anti-inflammatory medication. There was a study done in stable coronary artery disease that showed fewer cardiac events in patients that were given colchicine, but this was not a placebo-controlled study. There's also been other studies looking at things like biologics and methotrexate as to whether or not they may help in decreasing inflammation and therefore affecting atherosclerosis. So the question was really, you know, might colchicine be another drug to consider?
All right. It sounds like some slippery logic, but it was published in the New England Journal, so there's got to be something going on here. What was the study design?
So this was a double-blind, placebo-controlled, randomized controlled trial. Patients were randomized to either 0.5 milligrams of colchicine or placebo, a multinational study based out of Quebec. The study population included patients with a new MI. They were enrolled within 30 days. Patients were excluded if they had severe heart failure, recent stroke, demand ischemia, or significant renal or hepatic disease. There were a few different outcomes that they looked at. The primary was a composite of death from cardiovascular causes, resuscitated cardiac arrest, myocardial infarction, stroke, or hospitalization leading to another coronary revascularization. They also looked at a number of safety outcomes as well.
All right. And what did the patients look like who were included in the trial?
So 2,400 patients were randomized to each arm. They were followed for a median of 23 months. Most were enrolled 13 days after their MI. The average age was 61. About 20% were women and 20% with type 2 diabetes. For 93% of patients, they had PCI for management of their index myocardial infarction.
All right. And drum roll, please. What were the results?
Yeah, so for this composite endpoint, the primary outcome occurred in 5.5% of colchicine patients versus 7.1% in the placebo group. The hazard ratio was 0.77 and it was statistically significant. Now, most of this effect was driven by lower rates of stroke and subsequent revascularization. They also looked at the safety data, and that showed actually similar adverse events rates between the two groups. Colchicine users did have a higher rate of nausea, some flatulence. Interestingly, there was also a twofold higher risk of pneumonia.
All right. So, I mean, pretty impressive positive finding here. What were the limitations, though?
I guess all things considered, it was a relatively small effect size. You know, this data hasn't been replicated, and it was a relatively short duration of follow-up.
Okay, yeah, and I think the other problem, obviously, as you alluded to, whenever you have a composite outcome, sure, it helps with your statistical power, but you don't know, well, what was the difference from? And in this case, it seems like it was mainly subsequent revascularization, so maybe a bit of pause, but still, this is pretty fascinating. Take-home point here?
So colchicine is associated with lower rates of subsequent cardiovascular events in those patients with a recent MI.
All right. And practice changing for you?
I mean, it is an interesting idea, but I don't think I'm going to be rushing to add colchicine to, you know, post-MI management. Patients have already been started on sometimes four or more new drugs. I just don't know that there's a significant enough effect to then add on colchicine on top of it.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think I'm going to be an early adopter to this one, but certainly if there's another positive trial, you know, maybe we have to shift our practice.
Okay. So for our next study, Mike, what are you going to tell us about?
This one is entitled A Comparison of Two LDL Cholesterol Targets After Ischemic Stroke, published in the New England Journal of Medicine in January 2020.
Great. What was the research question?
Does lower LDL targets improve outcomes among patients who've had a TIA or stroke?
Okay. I mean, I think this is important for a number of reasons, but what do you think?
Yeah, you know, I feel like whether it's stroke, coronary disease, or diabetes, if it's any of those things, yep, in the GIM world, it's important. And we know based on the SPARKLE trial published a number of years ago that high-dose statins are clearly the way to go post-stroke. But how high? And should we actually be treating to a target?
So how did they design this study?
This was an unblinded randomized trial in France and South Korea. It was funded by the French Ministry of Health, and they got some support from pharma. They randomly assigned patients with stroke. So if they had a stroke in the last 3 months or a TIA in the last 15 days, to a low target LDL in Canadian units, that's less than 1.8. In American units, that's less than 70. Or they were randomized to a target that wasn't that low, ranging from 2.3 to 2.8. And in American units, we're talking 90 to 110. And the doctors could do whatever they wanted to reduce the LDL, give them a higher dose of statin, add on ezetimibe, any other tricks you have up your sleeve. So that was left to the discretion of the attending and treating physician. Some key inclusion criteria is that they all had to have evidence of cerebrovascular atherosclerosis seen on CTA or MRA or coronary artery atherosclerosis. And also importantly, these were individuals who had a stroke or TIA, and it was a relatively mild level of disability, Rankin score from 0 to 3, 0 being no disability and 3 being needing some help with ADLs. And remember that 5 is bedridden and 6 is dead. The primary outcome, another composite outcome, this was including ischemic stroke, myocardial infarction, urgent coronary or carotid revascularization, or death from cardiovascular causes, and there were lots of secondary outcomes.
Pretty interesting. Okay, so take us through. What did the data look like?
So the included patients, there was about 3,000 in total, followed for 3.5 years, which is pretty darn impressive. Average age of 66, 66% men, BMI at 26, and the time since TIA or stroke was 6 days. So pretty soon after the event, about a fifth had diabetes and 2/3 had hypertension.
And so what happened? More aggressive? Did it work?
Yeah, good question. The first thing that happened was the trial was stopped early due to quote-unquote administrative reasons. That's what it says in the abstract. When you finally read through the manuscript, you realize they ran out of money. So that's what happened. Having said that, what did they find? They found that the mean LDL at baseline was 3.5 or 135 in US units. And then among the individuals targeted to the lower target, they went down to 1.7. And to the less aggressive target, they went down to 2.5. So that's the levels that they achieved. Of course, we want to know about hard outcomes, and I'll get there shortly. How did they get there is an important question. In the low target group, the people had statin for all of them, as well as ezetimibe for about 35%. And then for the less aggressive group, only 6% got ezetimibe, and everyone else, of course, was on a statin. You know, getting to the point here, the primary composite outcome occurred in 8.5% of individuals with the lower target and 11% with the higher target. That's an absolute reduction of 2.5%, a relative reduction of 25%.